have a little thought this morning, if you'll give me a few minutes of your time, that the Lord has been talking to me about. I want to go to Daniel, the 4th chapter. And I just want to get something here. The Lord gave me this thought and kind of gave it when I was in South Carolina. But I want to speak about it again this morning. Nebuchadnezzar had a really hard time in part of his life. He got lifted up and he ascribed all the greatness of Babylon to himself. And he was warned. He had a dream and the Lord showed mercy on him and warned him what was going to happen. And we see by the other stories in the Bible that those warnings are conditional. The Lord told Nineveh that it would be destroyed in 40 days. And Nineveh, the people of Nineveh repented, and the Lord didn't do what he said he was going to do. And so the Lord did the same thing to Nebuchadnezzar and said that that he would be lowered from his exalted place in a very humiliating way if he did not break off his sins and humble himself. And anyway, he didn't listen, but I want to get what he said at the end. After he got, we know what happened. We know the story about how he was driven from the palace. He lost his mind. He said his hair grew like feathers, his nails like bird's claws. He ate grass for 7 years. And at the end of it, he said, I bless the Most High. In the 34th verse, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nobody can say, why are you doing that? Nobody has a better purpose. Nobody has a better reason. The Lord alone possesses all wisdom. And Nebuchadnezzar caught the vision of this. And what he said here was true. And I think that it would do us good to get a hold of that thought this morning. This scripture is a little foundation for the thought that I've got this morning, that God's way is perfect. Yes. Now I want to go to Psalms 19, in the first verse. Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know, in this chapter, we see a very beautiful picture of the universe everything that the Lord created. You know, the universe obeys every law that God has made. The stars are exactly where He wants them to be. The sun, the earth, the orbits around the sun, all of those things obey perfectly the commandments of God. And this morning I would like to blend the laws of God that He set up for the universe to obey and the laws of God that He set up for His creation to obey, for His human beings to obey. They are the same in importance, and sometimes they blend together. And the physical laws of God are, the moral and natural laws of God are just as important as His physical ones. They came from the same author, and they should not be broken. These verses are in the same chapter. Well, let's go down. The next verse, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." And I don't think it's a coincidence that the first six verses in this chapter that talk about the universe and all the glory that it speaks of God, I don't think it's a coincidence that those verses are in the same chapter as the verses that talk about the perfectness of the Lord and His laws. Yeah. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, we have a song, number 40, that talks about it. Let the stars praise Him. Let the sun and moon praise Him. How do they speak the glory of God? How do they praise Him? This verse says, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world." They speak of the majesty of God because they are a silent testimony to His greatness, and they obey His laws. The only created beings in the universe that do not always obey His laws are humans. Psalms 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." These are some of the deepest, most wonderful scriptures I know of in the Bible. They are, you can catch the vision of what David was saying here. He delighted in the law of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Or I believe this means, who can understand his own errors? Then it says, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And I'd like to, you know, God made a lot of physical laws. Things that are up always come down. And we see those laws and we count on them. And everything just works together. Whenever you're doing a scientific experiment, a lot of times, sometimes it's hard for me to really grasp this, because when we are doing something, say, in woodworking or in construction, something like that, we will plan something, but we always account for a certain margin of error or something to go wrong. And you know, in a pure scientific experiment where everything is perfectly controlled, They can predict the outcome of that precisely, down to the atom, time after time after time. And if it ever turns out differently, then it's an error made by the person that set up the experiment, a variable that was introduced that there is never any fluctuation of the scientific laws unless God does it. And His laws, it says, are perfect. And I want us to get a hold of the fact this morning that all of His laws are perfect. His natural laws, His physical laws, His moral laws. Here on the earth, a lot of people try to short circuit and circumvent His laws. You know, when all of His laws are kept and followed, everything just works, just like it works in the physical world. There is a lot of dysfunction in the world today because His precepts are not kept or delighted in. You know, back in the early 1900s, doctors decided that people didn't need their tonsils. That it was just something that grew for no reason. And so they started pulling out everybody's tonsil. Everybody, you need to have your tonsils out. And so they'd start taking tonsils out. And they did the same thing with the appendix. Can't figure out what the purpose of that is. You know, there's a purpose for those things. They just didn't know about it. There is a purpose for everything God does. Nothing just comes accidentally. If God created it, there's a purpose for it. And it's just like that with His other laws, His moral laws. You know, there are people today that say, if I want to live in a certain way that's contrary to the Bible, yeah, this is a big one in the world today, alternative lifestyles. People, the law of the Lord is that a man should leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And that principle is being twisted in all sorts of different ways. And those, when you twist things like that, it has repercussions. Just like if I have a machine and I take out something that I think isn't needed, there's no telling what's going to happen to it. I don't know. You know, sometimes you can predict what's going to happen, but a lot of times there will be a problem with something and I'll look back and I'll say, well, this is what's wrong with it. But then I can go back even farther and I can find a cause beyond that that caused this. And sometimes there's a chain. Sometimes you can go back 3, 4, or 5 steps and you can find something that was messed up all the way back here. And it didn't seem like that it would really be that big of a deal. I had tires on my car that would keep wearing out. And finally, I went and I got the car aligned. And it was out quite a ways. And it just seems like a little thing. But you know, those things, when you disobey God's laws, when you decide that you know a better way, and you take His laws and you twist them, things happen, and you can say, well, that God's doing that to a person. You know, you look at the alternative lifestyles and things like that. There are so many things that come out of that. Diseases. And you can look at that and say, okay, God looked at that and He's punishing them for that. That may be true in some cases, but I want to tell you that when God's laws are just circumvented, the Lord knows the best way for everyone to live. And He knows what will be the most functional. And when you throw that out, things happen that are sometimes not predictable. They don't work like they do when God's laws are followed, when God's precepts are obeyed. I feel like, pray for me, I'm trying to get this out, and I'm having a difficult time doing it. Let's go to Psalms 119. We mentioned Psalms 119 a while ago. I love this psalm. I recommend that everyone read this psalm. Whoever wrote it loved the law of the Lord. First verse, I'm going to read several verses in different places in this psalm. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. This is the first verse, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. I'm just going to get a few things from here. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. 113, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Somebody here had a great vision of how important the law of the Lord is. You know, it's not just that we have to obey all his commandments, and if we don't, we're going to go to hell. This is the best way to live. It's the most functional way to live. It's the most happy way to live. It is, if we can desire the law, it's not that he just, in the Psalms, he didn't just obey the law. He loved the law. Everything about God and everything that he set up and all the things that he said are right and good, he loved. And the other side of that is that everything that God hates, we should hate. And let's go to Numbers. I'm going to read some scriptures in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. There was a man named Balaam. And Balaam was a man that God talked to, but he had a problem. And we'll find out what that was. We'll go to Numbers 22 in the 5th verse. King Balak wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites. He said, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Okay, so far, so good. Balaam wanted to find out, and I don't know what all was in his heart. And God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And at that point, Balaam should have said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. This is the people that the Lord blessed. I don't want to harm them in any way. I want them to be blessed. If this is what the Lord wants, this is what I want too. Because that's the best way. But he had an attitude about it. The next morning, he rose up in the morning and he said unto the princes of Balak, get me into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And I don't know for sure here, but I don't like the way that's worded. It sounds like Balaam said, I would if I could, but I can't. The Lord forbade me to go. I don't really want what the Lord wants, but I'll be in trouble if I don't do it. And so he sent them away. And so they went back to Balak, and in the 14th verse it said they went to Balak and they said, "Balaam refuseth to come with us." So Balak didn't want to give up. He sent more princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." And I'll tell you, at that point, he messed up really big there. He should have told him right then, "Get out of here. This is not what the Lord wants." The Lord already gave him a commandment. But he wanted so bad. In the New Testament, there's a scripture, I don't know where it is, but it said that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he loved them a lot more than he loved the will of God. And so God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, why was God angry? You know, I've heard that it was because Balaam rose up in the morning without waiting for the men to call him. To me, it's a little vague here. I don't know whether they came to call them or not. But in my mind, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. The will of the Lord, the desire of the Lord, was already spoken to Balaam. And he knew what the will of the Lord was. Balaam's big mistake was that he had no regard or no care for the will of the Lord. It wasn't important to him. What was important to him was staying out of trouble. And he tread on pretty thin ice there too. And I think we can all learn a lesson from that this morning. You know, I have seen children before that, and we've all done this when we were children, do something naughty. And we get caught, and the very first thing we want to know is, are we going to get in trouble or not? And sometimes I think that we do that with the Lord. We ask the question, can I do this or not? We try to analyze things and say, is this sin or not? If I do this, am I going to lose my salvation? If I do this, am I going to go to hell? You know, there's a verse in 1 John that says, we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Those are two separate things. We do the things that he requires us to do. And we do the things that we know that he likes us to do. We want to do those things that the Lord wants us to do and that he likes us to do. To me, it goes so far beyond what we have to do in order to keep from going to hell. You know, I wonder sometimes, if there was no hell, what would we do? If we were guaranteed that when we die, we cannot go to that place of fire, and I believe very strongly that there is one, but if there wasn't, what would we do? Would we still count the law of the Lord to be the best way to live, the most important way to live? Would we love the Lord enough to do what he wishes anyway? There's a verse in Romans that says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I want to, and also in Job, it says that the Lord, He was perfect and upright, and He feared the Lord, and He eschewed evil. And the Lord, when the Lord was mentioning Job to Satan, those were the words He used. He fears me, and He hates evil. And it's an important thing to love the ways of the Lord and to hate the ways of darkness. Both of those are important. I want to go to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. I'm not going to read all these verses here. Yeah, I will too. First verse. The vision Ezekiel had, and he, the man that was with him from heaven, it said, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations to be done, that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, let's see here. That's the main part of what I want to get. He told him to begin. He told the people that were doing this job to begin at the sanctuary at the Lord's house, because they were the most responsible. You know, did you catch the meaning here? He didn't tell him to go through the midst of the city. And this is a vision, so I don't think this really happened like this in a literal way. But this was all in prophecy, in the spirit, that he saw this, what was going to happen. And he didn't just tell the man to kill those who did evil. He said, set a mark in the foreheads of the men that sigh. And okay, I'm going to read these other two verses. I forgot here. To the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids, little children, and women. But come not near any men upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And so the mark was upon those that hated, that sighed and cried for all the abominations that were done. And those were the only people that he put the mark on. Those that just ignored it. It wasn't enough to keep yourself from doing the evil. Sometimes it's tempting to kind of laugh at the evil things that are done and joke about it. But you know, things that happen in the world today have vast implications. And it is totally contrary to the plan that God set up. Homes that get split up. Yes. People that steal. Yes. People that lie. I remember, I've read a lot of old books. And there began to be a thought back in the 1800s, maybe even before that, that it's okay to tell a lie if it's for a good cause. But the law of the Lord says, in Revelation, it says that one of the verses, it says, there shall in no wise enter anything in the city that maketh and worketh a lie. And but the people, even religious people, got it in their minds that it was okay to circumvent this law that the Lord set up if it was for what they termed a good cause. And now, I can go to a job and people's word means nothing. You can make a verbal contract with someone, and as soon as it's said, you walk away, and it's like you didn't say anything at all. People's word means nothing unless it's in writing. And even then, sometimes it's pretty tricky to get what to get your end of the bargain accomplished. There is so much havoc in the world because people have departed from God's law. I want us this morning to realize how important that God's precepts are. How good they are. How much superior they are. Your life will be blessed if you follow God's law as much as you can. You know, if we don't hate evil, it's good to love God, and we need to do that. But part of loving God is to love everything that He loves and to hate everything that He hates. And if we don't do that, it's like a slap in the face to Him and saying, your way is not best and it's not perfect. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and verse 32. It says, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." You know, there are implications to things that we have no idea how far they'll go. And when we do those things, we lack understanding. Understanding and wisdom is something that is so important for us to get a hold of this morning. And it is available to everyone. You know, they have billboards and things that you can look at, and things that are totally contrary to what God set up. We need to hate those things. Those things are against our own soul. We can destroy our own soul if we indulge in things, even in our minds, that are contrary to His will. It says God, it calls Him, He said, He is the great I Am. He doesn't just love. He is love. And He doesn't just shine light. He is light. He is everything. He is the essence of everything that is good. And when we keep His laws, we are doing the best way that we can. You know, we need to desire God's way in everything, whether it's joyful or whether it's painful. There, I think it was Psalms 19, verse 75 that we read a while ago that said, "Thy faithfulness, because of thy faithfulness that hast afflicted me." When things happen to us, we need to recognize that that is the best way for us. Now, sometimes things happen to us because of things that we've done. But even in that, God plans our lives in such a way to always be bringing us closer and closer to Him. And He lets things happen to bring us closer to Him. I think that God puts us through class. We're in class all of our life. It never stops. I remember a while back, I had something that would happen. Every time that I would get around a certain person, I would just mess up, and I'd say the stupidest things, and I'd come away so humiliated and embarrassed that I could not understand. And after a while, God started talking to me, and He said, you're in school. This happens because you're ultimately concerned about what they think of you. And He was trying to teach me that we need to love people and we need to do what's right regardless of what anyone else thinks. We need to do the Lord's will and not base it upon other people's opinions. And we need to care about others more than ourselves. And when I started doing that, and I said, all right, that's how it's going to be from now on, you know, that got a lot better. And I don't really have that problem anymore with that. It's like in school, if you fail a class, you get to take it over again. And sometimes I think the Lord has us take the same class over and over again until we pass it. The Lord is merciful. I want to talk about wisdom for a few minutes this morning. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding of God's laws. That's what wisdom really is. It is mentioned as being so vital and so important this morning in the Bible. Let's go to Proverbs 8, the first verse. Listen to these verses about wisdom. Sometimes I think we discount the importance of it. But God wants us to have understanding of His laws. An understanding of what is best. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. This is everyone. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And my opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. I wish Balaam would have done this. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. If we could just get a hold of how important it is to understand God's way this morning. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. In verse 22, it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. In verse 29, it says, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. You know, this, it's almost too, the concept here is almost too deep for me to describe here. The Lord possessed all wisdom, and by that wisdom, he created the earth. By that wisdom, he set up everything. By that wisdom, he made all of the laws that he made. And that wisdom, he is willing for us to share in some of the knowledge of that wisdom, so that we can understand how to live and we can understand how great God is. If we can get a hold of that wisdom this morning. In verse 32 it says, now therefore hearken unto me. O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. A lot of times I think we don't realize what we're doing to our own soul when we indulge in this or that, when we decide to neglect the precepts of God for something that we consider to be valuable, enjoyable, pleasurable. Let's go to Psalms 32 and verse 5. This is a prayer, and then the Lord is responding in verse 8. Says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And then this is the response from God. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. And this is a plea. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. It's available. The good news is that this wisdom and this understanding has been made available to everyone. There is nobody that has the right to say, I'm just not a wise person. I don't think I'll ever be. I'm just trying to live the best I can. You know, in James it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But there's another requirement to that. You can't just go and just say, oh, I want wisdom, God give me wisdom, and then go on. You have to want it, and you have to seek for it. In Proverbs 2, let's go to Proverbs 2, the first verse. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord has all wisdom. By it he founded the earth. By it he made his laws. We don't have wisdom of ourselves. But the Lord has given us a way to tap into some of the understanding that he has. And we can understand how to live. And we can understand how to worship the Lord. And we can understand how great God is, and how wonderful he is, and how wonderful his laws are. I thank the Lord for that this morning. I thank the Lord that he has made that available to us. You pray for me.